You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Okay, maybe hold on. Maybe I gotta do the adjustment on my speaker, on my headset here.
Okay. Well, you're a real pain in the ass tonight.
Yeah, I know, man. Actually, I think I got it now. You sound fine.
Okay, cool.
And I'm recording. Dear God. Okay.
And I'm recording.
Cool. Let me adjust myself here. Hold on. Touch myself. No, I'm going to touch my mic. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Who's your good little mic? That's my good mic. Okay. Enough of that.
Wow, that was weird.
Yeah, well, I had to touch my blue snowball.
Okay.
Yeah.
look at the time.
So
got those taxes to pay, the dogs to wash. Got my homework to do.
You're not going to turn your homework in my handwriting, are you, McFly?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So, Scott, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Did you get the memo?
About the TPS reports?
Yes. We're putting a new cover sheet on the TPS reports, and you've neglected to do that.
I got the memo. I forgot this one time, and I promise I'll work on that, and I will make sure that I put cover sheets on all my TPS reports.
We're putting cover sheets on all the TPS reports, and I'll just make sure you get the memo. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the memo and, right here.
And also, Scotty, I'm gonna have to have you come in on Saturday. Yeah, we're a little bit behind. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna have to review that movie. Is what we're gonna have to do. 1999.
Right on the cusp. Right on the cusp. So, you know, in all honesty, you know, since you brought that up, I think what we should do is a very quick episode, maybe talking about what we like about that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
You're not ready?
No, let's break it down, Peter.
All right, so insert bumper.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I am just as sane as anybody.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead and co-creator of King of the Hill, comes a movie about people who go to work. Who are part of a team.
And remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day.
Okay, but I could set the building on fire.
who respect their boss.
We need to talk about your flair.
Well, I have 15 pieces on.
15 is the minimum. Brian, for example, has 37 pieces of flair on today. And a terrific smile.
And need to escape.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
One of these days, I just kick this piece of...
I'm thinking now it might be more fun to just get fired. And I've always wondered what that would take.
Oh, Peter, listen.
Well, it looks like you've been missing quite a bit of work lately.
Well, I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
That's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
We're going to be getting rid of these people here. Mr. Samir. Okay,
okay.
Not going to work here anymore anyway.
You haven't been showing up and you get to keep your job.
Actually, I'm being promoted.
Thank you, Bob.
This is a suck.
They're going to throw you out on the street so that Bill Lumberg's stock will go up.
Ooh.
It's completely unfair.
Inatech deserves to go down.
We're just the guys to do it.
Tell me about that virus you're always talking about. The one that could rip off the company for a bunch of money.
I'm not going to do anything illegal, Peter.
Illegal? Samir, this is America.
The worst they're going to do is they put you in a white-collar minimum security resort for a couple of months. You know they have conjugal visits there?
I might be showing them my old face.
Oh, oh.
They let you have sex with women?
They sure do. Okay, I'll do it.
Office Space.
I know you've been getting pretty depressed about your job and everything, and so I just wanted to tell you, good things can happen in this world. I mean, look at me.
Hello, this is Bonsai Rush Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hey.
So, Scott, did you get the memo?
I got the memo.
You didn't get the memo. Did you get the memo?
I got the memo.
Do you know what the memo is about?
TPS reports.
No, we got 500 followers on Podbean.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome news.
Yeah. So, it surprises me too. But, you know, what we want to do is put out a quick little episode about something to acknowledge the fact that we got now over 500 followers on the Podbean app. What the podcast hosting service that we have is Podbean, which they've been absolutely fabulous to. Scott went to a convention. He was able to talk to them and interact with them. And, you know, kind of share concepts. And at the same time, he had a chat with them. And they're like, you know what? We might put you on our main page as a featured podcast. Since they've done that, it's felt like we've gone gangbusters on the podcast, Podbean app. Sorry. I can't even talk tonight. And so we finally got over 500 followers right now. And we just felt like we needed to do something to acknowledge that fact. So as a kind of thank you to all of those listeners and followers, we wanted to just do a quick mini episode talking about the very, very awesome movie Office Space. So I took Scott completely off guard and as far as topic matter, but I think it's important for us to have kind of something to chat about that's fun. And Office Space, I know, is something that we've always referenced between the two of us.
Yes. Office Space is an awesome movie. And, you know, I didn't even discover it until 2008.
Okay.
I had never seen the movie until 2008. And I don't know why. I don't think it ever really, like, jumped out at me as this thing that you got to watch. And I started working in an office and they were quoting this movie. I'm like, okay, whatever. And they're like, haven't you ever seen Office Space? I'm like, no, I've heard of it, but I've never watched it. So they actually, my boss was really cool at the time. He's like, all right, that's it. We're taking a lunch break. Everybody's watching Office Space. And so we went in the little conference room. There's only four employees. He's like, we have time. Let's do this. So he made me watch Office Space. It was a lot of fun. And ever since then, I have watched it many, many, many times.
as all of us have.
Yes, and it just cracks me up. It really is one of it's one of the funniest movies. And I never really worked in an office. That one year that I worked for Bill that made me watch this movie was the only time that I actually worked in an office over the last 20 something years. And I was only able to do that because I was an owner operator for FedEx Ground, and I hired somebody to run my route, my truck route, while I took this job in the tech field just to see if I liked it. Well, so when I was working for when I was running my own FedEx Ground business, I really didn't relate to office environment. So once I got into that office environment, everything changed and I understood it, you know. And it grabbed my attention. It's funny. It's got so many great lines in it. I love Ron Livingston is a great actor. I loved him in Band of Brothers. He was in that series. And then Jennifer Aniston, of course.
Of course, you know? Yeah.
And that was, 99? So she was still, she was really at the peak of her, well, not even the peak. I mean, she still went on to do a lot more stuff after that. But she was really, she was very, very popular at the time. Even though she was young in that one. But, man, I mean, from this, you know, Don't Touch My Stapler to, you know, the conversation that we had before we started this show tonight was, I'm gonna need you to come on in on Saturday too.
Yeah.
Lumberg.
Yep. Bill Lumberg, Gary Cole.
Great. Love him in that. He's great. Yeah.
So, and you know, I've always been in an office environment, so I got this movie right from the get-go, you know, from, you know, I don't know if I saw it when it first came out, but as soon as I became aware of what it was, it had me hooked, and I appreciated it. You know, it, my transition from being in the Navy in 97 and then, you know, getting into the corporate environment. And, you know, as a computer engineer, I'd always been into the cartoon Dilbert, and I always associated this movie as the movie version of Dilbert, because there's so much, there's things where you're like, the guy that wrote this movie must have been following office workers around all the time, because all that shit happens, you know, it's, you've got the person going, oh, somebody's got a case of the Mondays, and that shit happens all the time, dude. And you're like, my God, how did, you know? And it's like somebody made a joke of it, and you're like, crap, you know. And you know, the whole concept of, you know, I'm gonna, you know, make a virus, collect a lot of money, and it's just, you know, blow this place. And you know, shit, there it is on the screen. I've probably seen the scene where he's being interviewed by the Bobs so much that I practically have that thing memorized.
Yeah.
You know, and I love, you know, Ron Livingston's delivery as Peter in the, you know, in those sequences.
Slidell, this is my associate, Bob Porter.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Bob, pretty much go ahead and grab a seat and join us for a minute or two. You see, what we're actually trying to do here is we're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So if you would, would you walk us through a typical day for you?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. That way Lumberg can't see me. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah. I just stare at my desk. But it looks like I'm working. I do that for probably another hour after lunch, too. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Peter, would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something about TPS reports. TPS, the thing is, Bob, It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Don't care?
It's a problem of motivation, all right? Now, if I work my ass off and Intertech ships a few extra units, I don't see another dime. So where's the motivation? And here's something else, Bob. I have 8 different bosses right now.
Beg your pardon?
8 bosses.
8,
Bob. So that means that when I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That and the fear of losing my job. But you know, Bob, that'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
Would you bear with me for just a second, please?
Okay.
What if, and believe me,
this is so hypothetical.
But what if you were offered some kind of a stock option equity sharing program? Would that do anything for you?
I don't know, I guess. Listen, I'm gonna go. It's been really nice talking to both of you guys.
Absolutely. The pleasure's all on this side of the table, trust me.
Good luck with your layoffs, all right? I hope your firings go really well.
Okay. Excellent.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I keep wondering, because now that, you know, the BCD oil is now, you know, legalized all over the place, if I started taking that stuff, would I be more like him after he'd been hypnotized? You know, maybe that's something to experiment with, you know, where I'm just kind of going, oh, yeah. And then, you know, all of a sudden I just start telling it like it is and, you know, become a gangster. Who knows?
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
It does. So if you had to pick a favorite character, we listed so many of them, but if there was one that kind of rises to the top.
What was the guy? I cannot remember the actor's name. He was the neighbor.
Oh,
you know what I'd do if I had,
if
I had $1 million? 2 chicks at the same time. That's what I'd do.
Drew.
Drew.
Was it Drew? No. Drew was the O face.
Oh, yeah. O.
Yeah. Samir, oh my God. Lawrence, Milton, Bill, Tom, Ann.
I didn't. No.
Bob, okay. Nina, Chachki, waiter, Drew. I'm going to have to go to the full cast. I'm not getting it.
Oh. Wow, he's that low on the list. I'm surprised. He was on the Drew Carey show for a while.
Orlando Jones, I forgot he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shoot. He's got to be here.
He's not listed. That's awesome.
Lawrence. Diedrich Bader.
Yeah. Hey, Peter Man. Turn channel 9.
And this girl giving herself a breast exam.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's your favorite, Lawrence. Okay.
I love Lawrence. He had little bits in there that would throw just these weird little things in there. He's so odd. So it cracked me up. I feel terrible that I'm picking him. I couldn't remember his name. but those are some of the lines that stand out to me.
Hey, Peter, man, check out channel 9, check out this chick.
Damn it, Lawrence, can't you just pretend like we can't hear each other through the wall?
Oh, sorry, man. Ann over there or something?
No, but if you want to talk to me, just come over.
Hey, man, check this out, dude.
Oh, jeez, Lawrence.
Well, I'm sorry, man. I thought you wanted to see this. Doesn't that chick look like Ann?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, she hasn't been over here in a while. You two still going out?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Sometimes I get the feeling like she's cheating on me.
Yeah, I get that feeling too, man.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know, man. I just get that feeling looking at her like she's the type of chick that would just... Well, I'm sorry, man. Look, I you know, I'm talking out of my ass. I don't know.
Forget it. Don't worry. It's all right. I had a rough day. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Huh. Lawrence, what would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
That's it? You had $1 million, you'd do two chicks at the same time?
Damn straight. Always wanted to do that, man. And I think if I were a millionaire, I could hook that up, too, because chicks dig dudes with money.
Well, not all chicks.
Well, the type of chicks that double up on a dude like me do.
Good point.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do shit.
But there's so many great quotes in this movie. You can go on and on.
Yeah, for me, if I had to pick a favorite character, it'd be Gary Cole's Bill Lumbergh.
You like Lumbergh?
I do like
suspenders and all.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if it's good for the company, then yeah, that's good for you. Good for us. So, yeah, and you know, Friday is going to be Hawaiian shirt day. So if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt. And yeah. The way that, you know, he just kind of goes matter-of-factly through the office and, you know, takes Milton's stapler and, you know, when he starts talking to the Bobs and all of a sudden he's got to defend what he actually does there. Everything that he, you know, his delivery, it's just awesomeness. But, you know, at the same time, Milton, Stephen Root, I love the way that he, you know, his mumbling and, you know.
I could set this place on fire.
Yeah,
burn this place.
I had a seat by the window and you know, I watched the squirrels and I could watch it or listen in a reasonable volume when I collate.
But I said, I don't care if they lay me off either because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit. And I told Dom, too, because they've moved my desk four times already this year, and I used to be over by the window, and I could see the squirrels. And they were married, but then they switched from the swing line to the Boston stapler. But I kept my swing line stapler because it didn't bind up as much, and I kept the staples for the swing line stapler.
Okay, Milton.
And, oh, no, it's not okay, because if they make me... If they take my stapler, then I'll have to set the building on fire.
Okay, well that sounds sounds great. I'll talk to you later. All right, bye.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it, and you know people like that in the office too. You know that are like him. You know that just kind of go on, and you know you can't get away from them because they just keep talking and talking and talking, and you're like Peter, where you're like trying to hang up. Okay, gotta go now. And he's on the next cubicle over.
Oh right.
Yep. But you know the modern day equivalent of that is, you know, IMing each other, Skyping each other. So I'm in a cubicle area with my three direct reports, and we do that. We, rather than, you know, try to give like a serial number or something over the wall, we'll Skype it to each other so that, you know, we don't have to, you know, someone could just copy and paste the information versus having to get it verbally. So it's like we do the exact same thing. So I get it. I totally get that office, you know, and understand it. And luckily, I haven't had a PC load letter on the fax machine, but it's just a matter of time. No one knows what that means.
What the fuck is a PC? What is it?
PC load letter.
It wasn't a PC love letter.
Load letter. PC load, LOAD.
Yeah, LOAD. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
PC love letter. I like that better.
And you know this, the movie was actually like based on, it was supposed to be based around Milton.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yep. I'd heard that.
As kind of like a Dilbert character. And but they changed it and they put, you know, Peter as the main character versus Milton. Milton just became kind of a supporting role, which he was awesome as, and he just did such a great job of being weird. And you know, don't touch my stapler.
I actually and, got a stapler like that.
Yeah, this the you know, I had the swing line, but then I switched over to the.
No, he got the swing line. Yeah,
he got the swing line because Bill Lumberg took my took my line, and he reaches over. I'm just gonna take that. Yeah, and I'm gonna need you to pack up all your stuff and move on down to the basement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. That goes around. So that the way that Lumberg spoke it works everywhere. Yeah, I'm just gonna need you to go ahead and buy me that beer now. Yeah.
Very true. And yeah. Everybody gets it. They all, you know, it's one of these movies that is so quotable and relatable. And I think that because it's been quoted and, you know, kind of made fun of, or not made fun of, but, you know, referenced over and over again, it's like, even if those people that haven't seen it know that's the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I had a stapler that was just like that, because Swingline made the red stapler as kind of like a thing for Office Space. When I worked at Comcast, I had my I told our admin, I was like, you know, I've had disagreements with my stapler, which basically means it was broken and it wasn't working for me. She goes, oh, do you want me to order you a new one? And after she laughed at my stupid joke, you know, about having a disagreement with my stapler, she's like, you know, I can order you a red one, like the one from Office Space. And I was like, hell yeah. So suddenly I had a red swing line, and I gotta tell you, that was a really nice stapler. I put my name on it and everything. I want to make sure nobody stole it.
You gotta wonder how many red staplers they sold after that movie.
Yeah, there had to be a lot.
It really had to spike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, favorite scene? Do you have one?
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm going to sit here and count my flair as you decide.
That's good.
14 pieces, I think. No, okay. Well, that's 15. The minimum.
No, 15 is the minimum.
15 is the minimum. Okay, so there 15. You go. Yeah.
I have 15 pieces of flair. I really don't feel that you're trying hard enough. You see, whatever his name was, Billy over there.
Yeah, Billy.
27 pieces of flair. Yeah. I don't remember the guy's name, but. Maybe it was Billy.
They just call him the tchotchke waiter on IMDb.
Yeah. Anyway, I think my favorite part was – I don't know, dude. There's so many. I can't choose one. But
I'm going to go – conclusion, with, I'm,
Matt. Well, that's funny too. I'm gonna go with when he comes into – when he comes in and he gets the drill out. And he just unscrews his partition for his cubicle and just pushes it over. And so he has a window view now.
Yep.
And I think it was around the same time that Lumberg might've been in the same scene. Lumberg came over and says, we need to have a meeting. He's like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. He's playing Tetris.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm just going to not do that.
Or if he could just go away now, that'd be okay.
Just go away now. That'd be great.
Yeah, he's sitting there eating Cheetos and playing Tetris.
Freaking awesome. But anyway, I don't know if those two scenes were, they might have been close to each other, but that little interaction there. When he just takes his cubicle apart and just pushes it over, like, you know what? I'm not taking anybody's shit anymore. I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I think many of us would love to be able to do that.
Exactly. And I think that's probably the reason why you associate with that so much, because you're like, I could do that. I wouldn't do that, but I could do that.
and it doesn't matter what, like, line of work you're in.
Right.
There's something in your life that's that cubicle wall that you want to push over.
Right.
In your work life.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
For me, it's tough picking one scene, but the one that just comes to mind every time is when they take that fax machine out to the field.
Oh,
and they start
yeah.
with the bats, you know. Mm-hmm. I had that experience with, you know, being in IT and we're working on a specific server. And there was this application that just kept running into problems because it was on this server. And whatever we did, it just kept failing and failing and failing. The people that were the main people that worked on the application, it was a quality application. So the quality department was affected by this thing every time the server acted up. So it always required a lot of troubleshooting, a lot of calling the vendor, working on it. And so it became an ongoing joke that we're going to go office space on the server. You know, we're going to take it out back, and all the people that have been affected by it, we're going to charge them like $5 for like 3 whacks of it. And I would have a line that would go in the parking lot, you know, around twice of the parking lot. And we knew that's what would happen if that server ever got unracked and taken to the, you know, to the parking lot. And, you know, if we gave a bat or a sledgehammer, we would do that. We would reenact that scene, and it would be a beautiful thing. We would have loved it. It would have been just like Michael, just losing control. And then you couldn't, like, you'd try to hold us, and we'd be going back to it and try to, like, slip on it. I could totally see us doing that. So I appreciate the fact, you know, that scene, because I've wanted that moment, you know, with equipment.
Right.
As I'm sure you feel that way about your microphone.
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated with my damn microphone.
But I mean, you could do that same thing. We could take a bat out and just whack away at it, and then you'd have a good old afternoon, and, you know, hopefully feel better.
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't want this to be an overly long episode.
Right.
So if there's anything like you want to wrap up for Office Space, or do you just want to close it out?
This movie is so funny, and I can watch it again. I could easily go and turn it on and watch the whole thing again right now. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to add at the moment, since we want to keep it short and sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was funny stuff.
So, yeah, to our 500 followers on Podbean, thank you so much. This little episode we're going to make public for everybody, but we really did. This is a dedication to our 500. Thank you for joining us, being part of the club, and, you know, checking out the podcast and then deciding to click that follow button. That means a lot to us, and we're just happy that you're here for the ride. So we appreciate you in so many ways. This part will remind everybody that we do have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com. On that website, you can get to our links for Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, all those good things. Please go out, follow us on all that good stuff. If you have one of those iPhone devices, we'd appreciate you to do a follow and subscribe and give us a review, rating, 5 stars, hopefully. If it's not a 5-star review, then keep it to yourself. Just kidding. Just kidding. We actually want to get that feedback. That's important to us. But, once again, Podbean, if you're on that app, we appreciate if you're following. If you're not, then hopefully you will soon. We love you guys. So with all that being said, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 You are Michael Bolton?
Yeah.
Is that your real name?
Yeah.
Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
You're goddamn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
I don't know. I guess I sort of like them all.
So, Ryan, I'm the exact same way, but it must be twice as hard for you being have the same name as him. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog. Anyway, let's get down to business, Michael.
You know, you can just call me Mike.
Yeah.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster-ass nigga plays his cards right. A real gangster-ass nigga never runs his mouth, because real gangster-ass niggas don't start fights. And niggas always got a hot cap, showing all his boys how he shot him. But real gangster-ass niggas don't flex nuts, because real gangster-ass niggas know they got him. And everything's cool in the mind of a gangster, because gangster-ass niggas think deep. Up 365, I go 24/7. Real gangsta ass niggas don't sleep. And all I gotta say to you, wanna be, gonna be coochie eating, jealous hearted pranksters. As long as you jump us up, what we gon' do? Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Feels good to be a gangster.
Hi, Peter.
Feeding the poor and helping out with their bills.
Hi,
although I was born in Jamaica, now I'm in the US making deals. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. I mean, one that you don't really know. Riding around town in a drop top Benz, hitting switches in my black 6-4. Now gangster ass niggas come in all shapes and colors. Some got killed in the past, but this gangster here was a smart one. Started living for the Lord and I last. Now all I gotta say to you, wanna be, gonna be crumb snatching, coochie eating pranksters. When the grim reaper steps up, what the hell you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.